Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHER are out to change that. InvestHERCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHERCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHERCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHER, H-E-R, con.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
This house gave me $51,500 from a house I never owned, and I put under contract for $10.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's best ever guests as they share it with you. It's the best ever advice with none of the fluff. Let's go.
Heard of crowdfunding and still curious about how you can benefit from it? Well, we've got a step-by-step guide put together just for you by the best ever team and Patch of Land, the industry's leading crowdfunding experts. The best crowdfunding crash course ever, episodes 152, 159, 166, and 173 will provide you all you need to know to get started and begin benefiting immediately. Whether it's getting access to funds for your project or passively investing in other people's deals, the time is now to get started with Patch of Land. Go to patchofland.com/best ever to grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Hi, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with another Joe, Joe Bodek. How's it going, Joe?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Glad to have you on the show, and I always get a kick out of it whenever the guest has the same name as me, because it's just like a parallel Seinfeld type of episode.
Yeah, we get to confuse everybody.
Well, this Joe is much more accomplished, according to his background, than I am. He's a third-generation real estate entrepreneur who was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He has run over seven apartment communities, which is 3,000 units. He's managed them. He has developed land. He's built single-family homes. He's currently specializing in actively doing lease options. You can say hi to him at his website, It's realestatementoringusa.com. There was a glare on my computer. And interestingly about him, but non-real estate related, he is an accomplished guitar player. He's played with some local musicians in the Philly area. So you might have seen him out playing if you're in Philly. With that being said, Joe, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Background-wise, kind of maybe a little different story than you get from a lot of the gentlemen and ladies that you have on. I wasn't working a 9-to-5 job and then found real estate. I was birthed into real estate, really. My dad was probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, builder back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s in the country. He was he built full communities. Single-family homes and shopping centers and churches and schools and the whole bit. And so I was birthed into real estate. And I remember riding the jobs on his lap when I was a little kid. But after college, I wound up going to work for him. That was back in 1971. I'm probably dating myself here. And As you said, I was running apartment houses, apartment complexes for him. And under his tutelage, which was kind of neat, that's where I had my first exposure to a mentor. I learned how to build single family homes and how to, you know, develop ground and things of that nature. So I did that for a number of years. And then in the mid 80s or so, he decided he wanted to retire. So everything got sold off. Little by little, and he went on down to Florida and spent the rest of his years down there. And I kind of went off on my own a little bit. I became a realtor for a while. I really didn't like that too much. So I left that and wanted to get out of real estate for a little bit just to kind of experience some other things. And I wound up, believe it or not, in the insurance business. And the only reason I mention that is because I worked my way up to becoming a senior vice president in this company. But the beauty of it was that I got schooled and mentored by probably the best sales and marketing people that I've ever seen. They were fantastic. And the reason I mentioned that was because I was able to use that when I decided to get back into real estate. And so I left traditional. When I went back into real estate, I kind of could go two ways. I could go back into traditional real estate, as I call it, which is, you know, building houses and things of that nature. Or I could go into what was just kind of being born then was creative real estate. And it's kind of funny how I got involved in it. I was receiving these mailers from a guru at that time. Now, there were only very few back then. As I say, I'm dating myself. Some of your best ever listeners may recall a name, Carlton Sheets. He was the big guy back then, and he was the first. Guy that came up with, you know, no money down real estate. And of course, I bought his course, but like everybody else out there. But it was another guy that kept sending me all these flyers. And so my attitude at that time, because I was my background was traditional real estate, was that what he was telling me was just nonsense. I mean, he was saying you could take over properties for $10 and you could get all the equity out of them and make all this, you know, money up front and all this stuff and not put any money into it. And I just, you know, my background was completely different and I didn't believe it. So I said, well, I'm going to buy his course and I'm going to do everything he said and I'm going to prove him wrong and I'm going to send him a nasty letter and I'm going to report him to the real estate commission. That's what I was going to do because this had to be a ripoff. So I went ahead and I bought it and I did everything that the man said to do. And 31 days later, I'll never forget it. It was exactly 31 days after I got the course. I had a $5,000 check in my hand. And I had a property under a lease option contract, and I couldn't believe it. I was floored because what this guy said actually worked. So, wow. Yeah, and it was great because everybody was happy. You know, the owner was happy. I was happy. The person that picked up the house on the lease option was happy. So, you know, everybody was all thank you. So I couldn't believe it. So once I saw that this actually worked, I decided that was the direction I was going to go. So I started doing lease options, which is what the niche that I really liked a lot. And I had various niches that he taught. And I started doing those, and I started out with sandwich leases, lease options, which are the ones where you stay in the middle of those deals from beginning to end, and then moved into what was called cooperative assignments back then. It's now called wholesale lease options by a lot of people. And that's sort of like similar to flipping houses traditionally, the way, you know, you get it under contract and you flip it to a cash buyer type thing, but here you're flipping it to an end user. So at any rate, I started doing those and did them for a number of years. And then around 2012, I had so many people asking me, you know, questions on how to do lease options over the years that I decided, well, you know, I kind of like telling these people how to do this stuff. So maybe I'll try and be a mentor. And I found I was pretty good at it, but there was a couple of things about it that I saw in mentoring that I wanted to change. So when I invented this program that I have now, the two things that I really wanted to change was I wanted to cure one problem, which was the high cost of mentoring out there. The upfront cost is, you know, very prohibitive for a lot of people. And I'm not getting down on the guys out there. I think, you know, you should be paid what you're worth. But there's a lot of people out there that can't afford the high cost out there. So I wanted to make something available to them. So what I did was I set it up so that they can get involved with mentoring, at least learning how to do lease options. And I do also teach how to flip houses traditionally. But I wanted to set it up on the cheap so for people to get involved in the program that I put together. It costs them less than, you know, a night out to a movie and dinner, you know, with your significant other. So that took away the problem of people being able to get into a program. And the other thing that I wanted to do was to manage time a little better. A lot of the programs, and I've had mentors, so I know how most of these programs work. I wanted to, instead of having them, you know, meet with me on a Tuesday once a week or something like of that nature, I wanted to make myself available to them so I could move them as fast as I possibly could. And rather than just do it like one day a week or something of that nature, what I decided was I was going to, instead of just putting them out there with a manual and setting them loose, which kind of makes them a little bit more dangerous than anything else. I wanted to actually walk them through the deals. So that's what I do. I actually walk the students through the deals from beginning to end. I talk to the sellers while they're on the phone with me so they can, you know, cut their learning curve down by listening to me actually do it. And I talk to the buyers when I have to and take them from beginning to end. And the object was to get them to get that first or second deal or however many we're going to do together, you know, done as quickly as possible. So I feel that I kind of cured a couple of the problems out there that I saw was affecting a lot of people that wanted to get into the business or at least experience it to see if they liked it without having to, you know, mortgage their firstborn male child, you know, because that's how much some of these courses cost. But so now most of my time is pretty much dedicated. I still do my own deals, but most of my time is dedicated to working with these students. And of course, when we do these deals, the way I make my fee is we split the deals. So they're making money because of the program that I have is called the Earn While You Learn Lease Option Mentoring Program. So they're actually earning while they're learning, and that's how I get my fee. So if I can't get them making money, I don't get a fee, which is kind of the way I think that that mentoring should be done. You know, if you're not producing, you shouldn't really, you know, get paid.
Yeah, so let's talk some specifics on kind of the story that you mentioned earlier. So you said you went into insurance and you worked with the best of the best, or you learned a lot from a sales and marketing standpoint. What specifically did you learn, and how are you applying that to your business with doing lease options?
Okay, well, what I learned really was marketing is the key. I mean, that's the name of the game. And this kind of falls into, I think, the next question you're going to ask me, which is about the best advice. So can I attack that at the same time?
Well, not yet,
friend,
because
okay.
I've got a lot of other questions before I ask that.
All right. What I learned basically was how to work with people. They just basically taught me, for example, to be specific, when you are working with people in marketing and sales, you need to control the situation. And the way that you control the situation is by questions. He who asks the most questions always wins. So when someone asks you a question, like, well, how much is the house? The answer you might have is, well, if I can make that house affordable for you, would you do business with me? Okay. And by asking all these questions, that's how you get things done. As an example, one of the things that we did when I worked in the insurance business, we had a flip chart, for example. And in that flip chart, there were 36 affirmations. In other words, we got in about 15 minutes, we got the buyer, the prospect, to actually say yes 36 times before we asked them or went to the close, so to speak. And by doing that, you get people to, you know, get used to saying yes. And by the time you get to asking them, you know, for the sale, they say yes. Now, you can take that lesson and apply it into real estate, you know, by when you're talking to a seller. You know, sir, if I can solve your problem, would you do business with me? Well, he's going to say yes. And so those are the kind of the specifics that I learned from these guys.
When you are looking at different types of lease options, you had mentioned three of them, I believe.
Two.
One actually. Two. Okay, yeah. So lease options and what, sandwich there, lease
option? There's a sandwich lease option, which basically, very quickly, means that you stay in the middle of that deal. That's why they call it a sandwich. So what you're actually doing is you're leasing the property with the option to purchase it from the seller with the right to sublease. So you have an agreement with the seller, and you have the right to sublease it to a tenant buyer who will have the option to purchase it. And there's three separate paydays when you have a sandwich lease option. The first is the option consideration, which the tenant buyer gives you up front. That goes towards the purchase of the property. The second is the rental spread, which is the difference between what you're going to be paying the seller, the owner, and what you're collecting from the buyer. And then the third is the back end. So, for example, if you had $20,000 in the deal that you were, spread in the deal, and you took, let's say, $10,000 up front as the option consideration, you would have another $10,000 when you go to close down the road a year or so from now. So those are the three paydays that you have. So it's a way to control a property without owning it and create income, residual income, without having to go to the bank and own it. Okay.
And then you've got the sandwich lease option, which you just described, mm-hmm. the lease option, and you said also the wholesale lease option. So are there three or
no?
Are
there's
two.
There's two. Lease option is just the main name for it. Again, it breaks down to two different types, which is the sandwich and the wholesale. And the wholesale works very much like a traditional wholesale deal, where you get the property under contract. And you would then find a tenant buyer. You would have the way I do them, I have the owner approve the candidate. When he approves the candidate, then I do an assignment and assign the agreement to that tenant buyer. And I'm out of the deal, and I collect an assignment fee from that tenant buyer, and that's how I'm paid.
With your experience and with your dad's experience, in development and, with you managing managing seven apartment communities, so 3,000 units, doing development of land, why did you decide to go into single family home lease options whenever you were doing development and large scale projects?
One of the big reasons that I did it was because I didn't want to deal with banks anymore. If you recall, back in the 80s, the SNLs went crazy. And for no reason at all, they started calling loans. I mean, I forget the exact incident, but at any rate, they started calling loans. And I physically watched multimillionaires go broke in an instant because of what was going on with the banks. And we've seen that in recessions. From the 70s, actually. I've been through a lot of them because I'm an old guy. I've been around a long time. And I've seen banks do things that, are out of your control. And I didn't want to be subject to banks anymore. I mean, I remember when I was building, I would, I'd go and I'd sign paperwork and commit myself to $5, $6, $7, $10 million. And it isn't that the deals didn't go good. I built the houses, everything went well. But I always knew that if something went weird, I would have a bank chasing after me and or could possibly ruin what I was doing. So when I'm dealing with lease options and in creative real estate, other forms of creative real estate, you're making the owner the bank. And it's much easier to deal with an owner if a problem comes up than it is to deal with a bank. So that's why I stopped building and so forth. It isn't I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't want to be at the effect of a bank.
All right. Now we're ready, my friend. What is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Oh, well, that comes back to that's why I related the marketing that I learned from the insurance guys. My best advice that I can give your listeners out there, your best ever listeners, is that they've got to become a master marketer. This real estate, creative real estate, really, it's the marketing business. It's not the real estate business. People think that you know, they've got to know how to make multiple offers and contract forms and know how the contract forms work and all the other forms. And all that is good to know. You need to know that, obviously. I obviously teach that. But if you're the smartest investor in the world, but you don't have anybody to talk to, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be the most brilliant guy out there, you know, look at a deal and dissect it in 30 seconds. But if there's nobody to sell it to, or if there's no sellers that you're talking to, it doesn't do you any good. So, you know, I'll take a dummy like myself when I first started, who can market like crazy over a thinker brain at any day. Because you got to remember, when I started out, I really had no clue what I was doing. I know I had all that real estate background, but that was traditional real estate. It was directly opposite of what we do in creative real estate. And to be frank with you, you know, all my colleagues, including myself, when I first got involved in creative real estate, you know, I thought it was illegal, immoral, unethical, and probably fattening, okay? Because it was who's going to give you equity in a property for nothing, basically? But yet that happens when you're doing these options. Happens all the time. And in other, you know, and when you're doing wholesale deals too, you know, it happens. Well, you can't do them without equity in them. So I had to relearn everything that I had previously known. And because I had a lot of people to talk to when I first started out, because of my marketing background, and I could go out there and market to find sellers and find buyers, I didn't really know what I was doing, but there were so many people I was talking to that deals were just happening just because of the volume of people that I was talking to. So the best advice that I can give anybody starting out in the business or already in it, if you're not where you want to be, go learn to market and study marketers out there. And if you do that and you have lots of people to talk to and you're in the right market, talking to the right people, you're going to tear it up. There's no way that you can't. But if you don't have anybody to talk to, doesn't matter how smart you are.
In addition to what your insight as far as the person who controls the situation, you said he or she who asks the questions always wins. So really controlling the situation through questions. Is there another tactic or tip that you want to give the best ever listeners like that?
Well, let's see. I would say that you've got to have full disclosure in whatever you do, because you're going to be talking to people. And if you tell them a story of any sort, you've got to remember what you said. But if you have full disclosure at all times, particularly in this business, you're never going to have to remember what you said, because you're always going to be saying the same thing. So when you're dealing with people out there, my best advice to anyone is to always tell them the truth. For example, I have students that ask me, well, when I talk to a seller, should I tell them I'm an investor? Because there are, you know, I study the gurus out there. I get all their emails. I look over. I like to see what they're doing, what they're teaching and so forth. And everybody has their own way. And I'm not saying one is worse than or bad and one is good, but I'm just saying the way that I look at things is different than some. And, you know, there are some people that learn to go out and, you know, schmooze with the individual that they're talking to, the seller. And after they, you know, make friends and they have a little mini relationship and all that good stuff, then they spring on them that they're an investor. And a couple of things have happened here. Number one, if the individual, you know, is not looking to discount their property or deal with an investor, you just wasted a whole lot of time. Number two, you know, everything changes with time and circumstance. So this individual that you're talking to, he may, you know, not be able to get what he's after. So you're kind of closing the door, because when you spring on him that you're an investor, all of a sudden it's sort of like, you know, you were telling him a story up front, okay, because you were making out like you were the person that wanted to buy the house, like you were the end user. So I always teach to practice full disclosure. The first thing out of my mouth when I talk to a seller, and then I teach my students, is, hi, my name's Joe Bodek. I'm an investor in the area. So they know exactly who I am and where I'm coming from. Full disclosure. And I find that I can build a relationship with them that much faster. They know who I am, what I'm about. And if, you know, I can't solve the problem that they have right now. As I say, everything changes with time and circumstance. And so they'll call me. And believe me, I get a lot of calls from people that could not get their house sold for what they wanted or whatever. And they'll call me down the road because I was straightforward with them up front. So my other advice to you is always full disclosure right up front.
Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
I can give it a shot.
All right, then we shall do it. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. Crowdfunding. You've heard about it, and now it's time to learn about it. Our best ever sponsor, Patch of Land, is a leading expert in the crowdfunding space, and they've got all the answers to your crowdfunding questions. Go to patchofland.com/best ever and grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. What's the best ever book you've read?
I would think that for me, it was Think and Grow Rich, probably by Napoleon Hill. You know, he was the granddaddy of them all. And I think probably his is probably one of the best ones out there.
Best ever personal growth experience. And what'd you learn from it?
Well, for me, it was actually being broke. I've gone broke now and again. And, one of the best things was to come back from it. You know, I've been broke, I've been rich, and I can tell your best ever listeners, and I like rich a whole lot better. So I think that that was probably the best experience that you can have. So, you know, that would be mine, going broke and coming, you know, clawing my way back out of it again.
Best ever success habit you practice?
I would say getting back to the advice, constantly studying and improving my marketing. As I said, marketing is the key to the business or any business that you're going to go in. I mean, if it's not real estate, whatever you're going in, you have to have people to talk to. So I would say that my best success habit is I try to follow as many different marketers. And today, with the advent of the internet, and I'm kind of computer illiterate, I'm kind of challenged. These guys have taught me a whole lot of stuff. So there's a ton of marketers that you can learn from out there. And that's what I would suggest that you do.
Best ever deal you've done?
Well, I would have to say the best ever deal that I've done is always a deal that I'm doing now. That would always be the best one. Actually, I do have one that I have in the works right now that is representative of the kind of deals that I really like. It's actually closing this month. This was a deal that actually started back in September 11. This is one of the reasons, September 2011. This is one of the reasons why I really like lease options. A woman had called me from a postcard that I sent to an expired listings because I work the MLS quite a bit. And she had called me about a 4-bedroom, 2-bath colonial. I mean, perfect shape, ready to go. For whatever reason, she had had it listed and her realtor couldn't get it sold. I don't know why, but they couldn't get it sold. And did a little homework, and the ARV on it was about $240,000. The mortgage on it was about $1,600 per month. So I got it under a lease option agreement for $205,000 and the $1,600 per month, what she was paying per month, and put a spread on it of $35,000 because I got it for $205,000. Had a $250 a month rent spread. So, you know, advertised it, blasted it out to my buyer's list and put a sign on the property. And a couple weeks later, I had a young couple that with some kids that wanted the place. So we went with the sale price of $235 and $1,850 per month and $10,000 up front as the option consideration, which obviously is non-refundable. They don't buy the house. They don't get that back. And by the way, as I say, full disclosure, you got to make that up front and in writing so everybody understands exactly what's going on. And so we're going along. Everything's running really smoothly. No problem. And then about 4 months later, I get a call from the husband. And he says that they've decided they're going to get divorced, believe it or not. And this happens. I've had this happen over the years. I've actually had people die, things of that nature. I've had people get transferred, but they were going to get divorced. So I said, okay, and he said right to me that I understand I can't get my $10,000 back. I said, well, okay, you sure you don't want to, you know, can't work out staying in the house? He said, no. I said, okay. So they left. And of course, most investors at that point are, you know, going into panic because they're losing their tenant and they got to go find another tenant buyer. And I went into panic for about 35, 36 seconds. And then I was ready to go. As a matter of fact, I would go help them move if they've decided they got to go. I'll get the truck. I'll move them out as fast as I can get them out because I get to do this all over again. So they left, and I went out and found another tenant buyer, you know, put the sign back up, did my email blast, put the ads in Craigslist and all that. A couple of weeks later, I got another couple, and same deal. They came up with another $10,000 for the option consideration, and it was the same price and so forth. Same red. So at any rate, we're closing on this. They're right now getting everything in order to close. We're going to close the end of this month or next month. And the numbers on it, it is a reason why I like lease options. We have $10,000 for the first option deposit that I got from the first buyers that I kept because it was non-refundable. $10,000 from the second, and now, by the way, it was towards the purchase of the house. So it counts. Some banks will count it as a down payment. Some won't, but it goes towards the purchase. So it does reduce the price. Over the 48 months that I've had the house and the two tenants in there, I've gotten $11,500 in rent spread. And when we close, there'll be an additional $20,000 on the back end, which is the difference between the 205 and the 235. So when you add all these numbers up, this house gave me $51,500 from a house I never owned, and I put under contract for $10. That's all I have in the house. So those are the kind of deals that, and I've gotten way more than one of these kind of deals. So these are the kind of deals I really like. I hate for the people to have to leave, but you know, sometimes they get transferred or, as I say, they get divorced or whatever, and they got to go. But you get to do it all over again when they do. So those are the deals I really like.
Best ever project you're most excited about right now?
Well, my mentoring program, because it's growing a lot. I'm getting lots of good feedback. I'm getting people to get their first deal done, which is really the biggest problem that I'm finding out there. I get a lot of people coming to me saying they can't get their first deal done. So we're getting that done. So I would say I'm excited very much about the mentoring program and how it's starting to grow and the good that it's doing for the people that are taking part in it.
Best ever way you like to give back?
Giving back for me, I'm kind of an animal guy. I think that they really need a voice and that, you know, I'm always rescuing dogs and all that kind of stuff. And I think they need we do a lot of bad stuff to them. We, you know, ruin their habitat and people mistreat them and stuff like that. So I like to let the experts handle it. So I try to give as much as I can to organizations, you know, like the SPCA and the Humane Society and things of that nature. And I highly recommend it. It's very rewarding, you know, so I recommend it to others.
Best ever quote?
Well, the best ever quote, I hope you like it, okay, because I did think about it. And the best ever quote I can give you is that sellers want what they want until they find out they can't get it. And who do you think wrote that?
I don't know.
I did.
It's
my best ever quote.
I like the literal translation of my question. That's good.
Okay, I'm glad you like it. I like that quote a lot. I like to quote myself, you know?
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
The biggest mistake that I've made in real estate. Well, I would say probably, let me just say that that would probably be not being upfront, okay, with people. That's what I learned in real estate, that you've got to be completely open and above board. When you're not, you wind up having misunderstandings, and those lead to problems, and, you know, it's easier to solve them when you're up front with people. So I would say the biggest mistakes I made in real estate was not full disclosure, which I learned early on, and I don't do that anymore. I'm pretty full disclosure now, and I don't have any misunderstandings. So that's probably the biggest mistake.
And lastly, what's the best ever place to reach you?
Best ever place to reach me is probably my website, because my phone number's there and everything else, my email. So that would be real estate mentoring USA.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your advice with the Best Ever listeners and talking about sales and marketing and lease options and the two different types of lease options. I know I was trying to confuse the Best Ever listeners unintentionally, but according to you, there are two different types. One is the sandwich lease option. The other is the wholesale lease option. And how you've implemented those, how you're helping others implement those, looking at the different ways you can make money. You talk about with the sandwich lease options, the option consideration, so the money to get into the agreement, to the rent spread, the spread between what they're currently paying and what you're going to charge the people who are going to be entering into the agreement to rent, to own, and then also the back end profit. So what you agreed on the purchase price to be between your amount and the amount they actually end up paying for it. And then talking through the deal that you did where, you know, September 2011, and you've made money on two different contracts, both on the option buyers and then also the rent spread and the closing costs. So thank you so much for being on the show, sharing your best ever advice, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. It was great to be here. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, you best ever listener. Do you want more? Then go to joefairless.com, where you'll get tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And remember to subscribe to the Best Ever Show in iTunes so you can keep getting your daily dose of the best real estate investing advice ever.